thank you for asking me to be here. I really appreciate it. This room has a lot of memories for me. I was here for quite a while when I used to live here in L.A. And a little bit of history. First of all, I want to thank David who drove us down here. And I really appreciate his graciousness. Thank you so much. Whenever I leave Santa Barbara, I always think I got to leave here by 7 o'clock so I can get here early. Remembering that Sunday, there's really virtually no traffic. So we were here by 9 o'clock. So what do we do? Let's go eat. So, but anyway, welcome to the newcomers. Hey, listen, if you're here for the first time, and you're probably not going to understand what the hell we're talking about, welcome. It's a good idea that you do leave here confused, so this way your food will never be the same after this. So just like Alcoholics Anonymous screws up your drinking, Overeaters Anonymous screws up your eating. Really bad. I came here in the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous, God, I don't know what program I'm in, because I've been blessed with a lot of addictions and stuff like that. But anyway, I came into 1983 into Overeaters Anonymous, and I believe Jack was there. I know Jack since he had black hair, so it's been a long time. And I love him dearly. I was this small when I met him. And Linwood, St. Francis Hospital in Linwood on Tuesday night. And that's where I walked in after I was recommended it that I come to Overeaters Anonymous, because my insurance company was no longer going to insurance me because I was a health risk. I was getting too fat. And that was a big problem all my life. I was too fat. I don't know when I got fat. I think I got fat probably around the age of 6 or 7 years old. Because I do see my, I was a chubby kid as a child, but as I grew up, you know, 3, 4, 5, I wasn't heavy. I was just a regular kid. But as 6, 7 years old came on, I started getting heavier and heavier. And I do have a picture. My top weight was 400 pounds, so I'm going to pass this on. And you guys can watch it. I only got one picture, so do what you can. This is a disease that I don't like to brag about. You know, there's really not that much glamour when it comes to overeaters and being compulsive overeaters and obesity. You know, Hollywood will make movies on alcoholics and drug addicts, and it really looks really cool. Like, oh man, I want to be like that heroin addict. That is so cool. You know, boy, I want to be like Daniel at 400 pounds. That's so cool, man. Don't think it'll happen. But, you know, so this has been a disease that carries most shame. You know, I don't mind telling you that I used to, you know, shoot up and I used to do all sorts of stuff, all sorts of drugs. But I would rather tell you about that than tell you what I ate. That's how much shame food has attached to it. So I walked into these rooms really embarrassed, kind of scared, because all these years people were telling me, you need to lose weight, you need to lose weight. And I said, yeah, I will. So I tried the diets, you know, and sometimes it would work and sometimes it wouldn't. A lot of the diets were really good, and they did, as long as you kept on them, you know. But I just figured I just wanted to control my eating so I can go back and eat regularly. And isn't that the obsession of every alcoholic, to one day control his drinking? That was my obsession, that one day I could control my eating by controlling and just able to fix or some sort of plan. That's what I wanted to do, yeah. So I went to the doctor, and he gave me speed. And Black Beauties, and they're good shit, man. And not that I endorse them, but it's good stuff. And then I was eating so fast, I could not believe it. I was like, shit. And my doctor would put me on the scale, and she'd look, you're gaining weight. I said, well, I don't know. I mean, I'm taking the pills you want me to take. You know, so that didn't work. So all along, as a child, I was always teased for being fat. Things didn't help out because my loving grandmother, who expressed her love by feeding me, she would buy me corduroy pants. And so when you're fat and chubby, your thighs rub, and when you run, so the kids used to love to chase me and beat me up because I would run, and I would make this noise. And they chased me, I don't know, for blocks on end, and I'm like, tired like hell, but my rubs are, my thighs are rubbing and I'm making this noise, and they thought that was funny. And so, and now I look back at it, it was kind of funny. But it wasn't that. It wasn't that. This disease robbed me of my teenage years. It robbed me of my young adult years. It robbed me of a lot of stuff. I didn't go to prom. You know, I didn't date like a regular person. When you're fat and obese, you know, that's not good. Luckily, I found drugs and alcohol. Thank God. So that helped me deal with shit. And I'm the type of person that, not that alcohol led me to drugs, it's like I took drugs and that led me into alcohol. I'm the other way around. So I got into Tylenol and second Tylenol, a lot of the barbiturates, which I love dearly and I don't endorse. But those are just like incredible things that help you numb out, to help you forget everything. But here's the crazy part about it. As I continued eating and eating and eating, I was able to get the same effect that opiates and barbiturates did to me, which was shutting off the heads and the voices in my head where everything was going to be just fine. The feeling, you know that feeling when you're satiated, you've had it? Mine was buying an extra large pizza and I don't know how many toppings, but with a large Diet Coke. Because you don't want to have too many calories when you eat, so the Diet Coke will wash it away somehow. And I would rent a couple of movies, and I put in the movies, and next thing you know, I'd pass out. And I'd wake up, and I don't know what happened to the movie, and I don't know what happened to the pizza, but it wasn't there. And so that's how, that was the highlight of my life, was a big pizza, Diet Coke, and movies. That was my highlight. And it was really small. My life was really small. But here's some stuff, enough of focusing on the disease, because I believe the food is just a symptom, it's not the cause. But here's the four things that I believe that are very essential for every human being to have. One is to have a life and to live it. Okay. We all deserve it. Second, we all deserve to have love and to be loved. Thirdly, we all deserve to feel important and be important. And fourth, we all deserve to have variety. In my disease, I had that theoretically. I had the life I lived. In fact, I remember joining another group outside of Overeaters Anonymous that accepted obesity as is, and I don't remember what they were called, but I went to one of their groups, and everybody was heavy, and they were all happy to be heavy. And I said, how in the hell can you be happy? But I tried two of their meetings, and I walked out of there disgusted. How can you be happy? Well, we're happy because that's the way God made us. And I said, okay, but I couldn't believe that. Those four essentials that are very important to me, this disease took away. So today, now that I've lost all my weight, I have no more problems, everything is okay. Life is fantastic, and I'm just here to just lose the weight and that's all your problems and you're done. Nah, that's not true. I've lost the weight, now shit happens. Because now what happens is life continues. Like someone was saying earlier, life is in session. And life doesn't stop when problems happen. I want life to stop when I have problems, and it doesn't happen that way. So in recovery, I've gone through two divorces, and I think I learned my lesson already about marriage, so, but two divorces, and I've gone, in this program, I've lost and I've gained. Until finally in 1998, I became willing. So let me go back to the four essentials. Having a life, you know, today, there was a time I was waiting for when this happened, life will be fine and then I will be able to be happy type of thinking. And this happens, then I will be happy. And in my thought at 400 pounds was, when I lose the weight, then I will be happy. And now that I've lost the weight, now I find myself waiting for something else to happen so I will be happy. Well, I found out that life is not a rehearsal, and if you die today, this is as good as it got. So there is no rehearsal. So I need to stop waiting for that day when this is going to happen, I can be happy. So today I do have a life. And the life is given to me just for today. For today I can enjoy the day. You know, we went to have something to eat before the meeting. And it wasn't about the food. It was about being with people. Before it was all about the food. And I didn't care what you said, it was all about the food. Today we actually sat down, had a meal, we actually talked in between bites. Before I ate like a hyena, don't bother me until I'm finished. You know, I even offered half of my sandwich to some. How in the hell do you do that today? I never offered my food. I offered because it was all about the company. Because that's the kind of life I have today. It's about people. When you're 400 pounds, you're always keeping people out. You don't want them near you. You don't want them to hurt you. You've been hurt a lot. A lot of us come from a very physical abuse, sexual abuse, all sorts of emotional abuse, both inside and outside. Up until 11 years old, all the fat stuff, I heard it at school, and I kind of tolerated it, and I didn't like it, but I heard it. But at home, I was constantly called stupid, dummy, you know, no good, blah, blah, blah. But I only heard it at home. I never heard it when I went to visit my friends in their houses or when I went to school. Until one day, I got tired of being chased because of my corduroy pants, and I went and told the principal. And I was in sixth grade at the time, and the principal called in those three boys who used to chase me, and he made us shake hands. So then he called in my sixth grade teacher, Mrs. Cunningham, may she roast in hell, and have her come in and talk to her. And I go, this is the reason I say this. And she came in and she made me stand up at the chair where I was, desk where I was sitting, stand up, and she proceeded to scream at me that because of my fault, all the points that this class had accrued throughout this period of time, I had messed them up, and we were not going to be able to go on this field trip because of you. How could you be so stupid, she said to me. She confirmed everything I'd heard as a child, outside of the house. Now, what does that do to a kid? I mean, screwed me up totally. So ever since then, I was scared. I remember her beehive hair and her big red eyes, blue, oh, anyway, horrible. So that screwed me up. So from then on, I proceeded never to get hurt again. And food became my best friend until I found drugs and alcohol. That became my good friend. And then I found myself forced to get off of alcohol and drugs. Remember, I never do anything because I want to. I always do it because I have to. You know what? It's been over a year now that I've been off of caffeine. You may say to yourself, wonderful. What you do with the headaches? Let me tell you what I did with the headaches. I got ulcers. And that's what happened. When you have ulcers, you don't feel headaches. You don't give a shit about headaches because ulcers hurt worse. And that's the only reason I cut caffeine. Now, I was drinking Diet Coke left and right, left and right, left and right. And I came up with a conclusion. Do you realize that only overweight people drink Diet Coke? No, really. And you think somehow it's not working. Anyway, so I said, well, how am I going to wake up in the morning without caffeine? Well, the truth is, I don't need a stimulant to wake up anymore. I just get up and go. I drink coffee. I don't drink coffee, I mean. I just drink water. By the way, I drink the smart water, which, by the way, doesn't work. but either way. So the thing is, what I'm trying to tell you is, I've lost the weight, but life is not perfect. Because that's what life is all about. Life is to experience ups and lows and middles. That's what life is all about. When I was numbing out with food, I just wanted life to be status quo. Don't move it. Leave it the way it is. But see, life is to experience anger, to experience fear, to experience joy, to experience happiness, to experience boredom. I asked my sponsor, I said, you know, I don't know what to do. I'm bored. He said, well, the reason you're bored is because you're a boring person. I said, well, maybe I better rethink my position. That's right. You know, we're very creative people. You know, we don't really get bored at all. We hear voices. We hear voices come from the refrigerator. And we go, we answer. You know, we hear voices everywhere. Chatting about. Anyway, so, having a life and living it is very important today. And thank God I have a life today. I'm no longer this strange person walking among society. Oh, you drink smart water too? Is it working? Doesn't work out. Anyway, so the thing what I want to say is life happens today, and I'm willing to live life on life's terms. Second, love. I deserve to be loved. When you're 400 pounds, you deserve to hate yourself and to be hated. So I remember my first wife hated me, and I hated myself, so we made a good couple. And that's not good. But to be loved and to love, that's very important. I need to be in a relationship where if I hit the ball over the court, it's going to hit, come back. I don't spend my life just giving, giving, giving. I believe the person that's going to be in my life needs to be the best thing since sliced bread. Oh my God, I just screwed up everybody's on there. They all call the sponsors. Oh my God, he talked about bread. Anyway, but this is the thing, is that, you know, people deserve to be loved, no matter what weight I was. But when you love yourself, when you really love yourself, you're really able to attract people that can love you. Because you're willing to let go of the defenses and let people in. That's scary shit. Give me a quarter pounder instead of that. See, so I deserve to be loved and let me love. Thirdly, I deserve to feel important. A little girl that rides on her bike, she says, look, Daddy, look, Daddy, look, Daddy, look, Daddy. She wants to feel important. Child says, look, Mommy, look what I drew. I need to have that validation, too, to make me feel important. There's nothing wonderful when friends of mine say, you know what, I really love you, I really care about you, you're really awesome. And I say, who the hell are you talking about? But he's talking about me. And work becomes this great job, man. Thank you. Thank you. I never felt important. I always felt like I was a piece of shit. Lastly, I deserve to have variety. Life, we drive different cars. We dress differently. We don't all wear the same uniform unless we work for Wells Fargo or how we work. Anyway, we don't dress the same. We don't look the same. We're all different. That's what variety is all about. But when I was at 400 pounds, there was no variety. Everything was the same always. Size 58 waist is like, man, that's scary shit. Especially when the guy from the big and tall place says to me, you know, if you gain any more weight, we're not going to have any more clothes for you that you're not going to fit in. And by the way, the big and tall places, I never saw any tall people. I'm sure they had 8 feet people. But anyway. So the four essentials today. But here's the thing. The things that I have problems today are the things that I have control over. The stuff that I have no control over, I have no problems with. So that means that I need to surrender. Now that's hard coming from an addict. Because my job is to fight. But here in this program, you're taught to surrender. Give it up. Surrender to win. And how do you surrender? First, we admit we were powerless. Powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. I hate that. I'm pretty sure there's another diet I could follow out there sooner or later. But know that I'm powerless, just for today. I'm willing to surrender myself to a power greater than myself, to somebody else's way of doing things, that perhaps you may be right. So I pray for today to be teachable. Teachable. I could just learn something today. I know my time is almost up, but I wanted to be willing, and I remember my sponsor saying, look, stop asking for the weight to come off. Ask for God to be willing. So I looked up what the word willingness means, and it means to be in cheerful compliance. I wasn't cheerfully compliant. Are you nuts? I'm going to take away the very thing that's helped me out all my life. And no longer was I going to be able to anesthetize my feelings. And I was going to have to feel the feelings. That sucks. But I had to be willing. You know, when you put yourself on a food plan, feelings come up. That's the shit you've been suppressing. That's the shit we drink and drug and eat over, because of all the memories we remember. Okay. But this is the stuff we have to face. What is it, you face your stuff or stuff your face, whatever it is. There are all these cliches that I know. One of the craziest things that I've done with food, and I'll end with this, is that I was the, and that day was a happy, joyous feeling over here on Friday nights, and I was a literature person. And I became a literature person because this pretty little girl said to me, you know, you should come to Friday nights. She said, oh. And I said, really? Do you go there? Oh, yeah, I go there all the time. Well, I'm going to go there. We have dinner before that. I said, oh, that is really cool. I'm going. So for 2 weeks, I went straight ahead, and we had dinner, and it was great. I was wonderful. We're meant to be. And turns out, the secretary says, we need a literature person. Now they have, and I said, you know, perfect girl, perfect meeting, me, I'll do it. So, and then she left the program. And I am stuck with two goddamn suitcases of these goddamn literature, and I'm in this old clunker, and she's gone. Never again. And I'm stuck for a 6-month commitment. And I had to go to San Pedro, and I remember I had to be up here Friday night, from San Pedro up here to West LA, and I had dinner. And remember, when you're 400 pounds and you don't eat, you miss a meal, you could die. So I stopped at Popeye's Chicken, and I bought a 5-piece meal, and I got on the freeway, and I'm zooming off, and I bite into this chicken leg, and I almost burnt my hand because it was so hot. Oh shit, how am I gonna cool this down? And I stuck the chicken drum outside the window. And I air cooled it. And I've been to it. I thought I was a genius. This is amazing. You're a genius, Daniel. It's amazing. So I grabbed the chicken wing. And I took it out. And it slipped out of my fingers. Oh my God, I wanted to slam on the brakes. Normal people don't do this shit on the freeway with food. So I qualify to be in that chair. I am a compulsive overeater. And do you know that I got back to this meeting and I was pissed off sitting at the meeting because I lost one piece. I had paid for five, but I ate only four, and I may die. You know? See, because food was very important to me. I didn't have a life, and I didn't have love, and I didn't have importance, and I didn't have variety. I depended on food for all of that. So on that note, thank you for letting me share.